Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bill's strength as a coach to me is developing players. You know, how you engage with them, how you inspire them, how you influence them, how you impact their development to improve. He's going to have success at North Carolina.
And that should do it. Obviously a disappointment for North Carolina, but for TCU, they dominated Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels. Our final score, TCU 48, North Carolina 14.
Obviously we have a lot of work to do.
Not talking about this.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Nick Saban prior to last night's game between UNC, TCU, and he was right. Bill Belichick had success that first drive. They went up 7-0. Looked like things were going to be great. Big play in the run game, big play in the passing game. They're going to roll, baby.
Genius.
Ruh-roh.
Jasovacek is old.
It got ugly from there.
7 plays, 83 yards, opening drive.
Yeah. And then after that, they did base. They went, the stat they were using on the broadcast, 2 hours and 12 minutes of real time without completing a pass, yeah. I believe was yeah. the number.
Yep. That great. They ran that correct.
2 hours.
Two hours. What they also didn't add was, in that time, also gave up multiple 70-plus-yard touchdowns, gave up several picks, and were stuffed on, just about every run play.
See, that is the one good thing. If I'm Bill Belichick, no one can feel good. Like, there can be no finger-pointing on that team. The offense stunk. The defense stunk. Everything stunk in that game. So
it was a unit.
Bury
suck.
The ball. Yeah. They could go back to the old days. Bury the ball.
I wonder how that's going to work. I just love the pregame interview with Holly was fantastic. You talk about uninspiring. It was the least. All college coaches know that whenever they get interviewed, that they are selling their team. They got to be salesmen. There was nothing about anything he's done. Putting the depth chart with nobody on the depth chart.
Yep.
Saying that, you know, basically that what are you looking for in today's game? Fundamentals and communication. Being just a bad salesman of your school is not the typical demeanor of a coach in college. He just doesn't. It just doesn't compute with him.
In 511 NFL games, you know how many times Bill Belichick's defense allowed 48 points or team allowed 48 points, Ted Johnson?
Yeah, never, not once.
Never.
It's a donut, right?
Now he's 1-for-1 in college football. He's coached once. He's always wanted to. Remember, he's always wanted to coach college football.
Well, this is his dream job.
Beat Duke.
Dream job.
This is a dream job.
Bill Young Billy. You better worry about beating Charlotte this week. Yes, Dan Ball.
So Teddy talked about how inspiring that he was, right? We heard from him pregame from Holly Rowe. Just for those that didn't hear it, again, get ready to run through a brick wall when you hear this.
Weird statistic. It is 34 years to the day that you debuted as an NFL head coach, and now you're making your debut as a college football coach. What's going on inside you right now? Excitement, nerves? What does it feel like?
I hope it goes a lot better in the game against Dallas and Jimmy Johnson. They crushed us. So hope it goes better than that.
So he's bookended his career thus far with crap.
Yikes. Against Jimmy Johnson, who some players on his team may not even know who Jimmy Johnson is. Like,
I just kept getting the feeling when you marry it all together, there was something that I'm probably going to make more of than anybody else. Every time they cut to Bill Belichick, it felt like he couldn't get his headset to work properly. He was looking down on his hip where the little box is, and he's fiddling with it, and he's looking up, and he's fiddling with it like he can't get, like maybe he's looking for Ernie. What channel is Ernie? Ernie doesn't work here anymore. What channel's Ernie, I said?
You know the guy that always stands behind the guy with the headset?
Yeah.
He didn't know what to do.
No.
Like, does Bill want me to help him? Is he, should I help? Should I engage? Should I
let
him do
the keys away?
He didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah, and also, I just feel compelled to ask, WTF was Jordan doing on the sidelines before the game?
See, that doesn't bother me that much.
No,
it's because it's her. If she was a 67-year-old woman next to her 73-year-old coach making his debut in college, I think everybody would be like, oh, that's cute. She came down to give him a little kiss on the cheek.
Tar heel sparkle pants?
It's weird.
Well, that she shouldn't be doing. The difference between
that's my new name for her.
Dressed like that on the sideline before the game, it's not a good look.
But it's always going to be weird. Anything she does because she's 24 years old, like was it Max Johnson, Rob Johnson's son that came in the second quarterback?
No, Brad Johnson's son.
I mean Brad Johnson is the same age as her. Like we're going to have these things everywhere, and I thought it was interesting.
Doesn't make it right.
No. I didn't say we made it right. Good, but these are
choices.
Brett McMurphy, a legitimate college football reporter makes note of that. Like he's noting the age of his girlfriend compared to the age of his backup quarterback. Yeah. It isn't just like TMZ or like Ted Johnson. Oh, Ted's got an axe to grind, or TMZ, they're salacious. No, regular college football reporters are just reporting the facts of the situation. His girlfriend is the same age as his quarterback, and that's a little bit weird.
And the facts of the situation, too, were that they claimed themselves as the 33rd team. This was going to be, you come to North Carolina, we're going to prepare you for the NFL. And TCU did a little trolling with that and basically said, you know, that they beat the 33rd team by 34 points, which was an unbelievable troll job. But they kind of set themselves up. It was almost, I mean, there was so much attention and Bill was going to change everything. And then right before the game, you hear Bill doing some interviews with not only with Holly, but who was the guy that did the play-by-play for
Herb Street?
No, that was color.
Reese Davis?
Carl Ravitch?
I think it was Reese Davis.
Reese Davis, yeah. Reese Davis did a one-on-one with them, and he was basically saying that we're not really that good.
Right.
Like he was downplaying.
Oh, the Saturday sit-down on college
Saturday
game
sit
day.
Down, yeah.
That was, Bill had all the energy of freaking like Tom Petty in that interview.
Again,
like he was just
you're a college
flat
coach.
As can be.
Listen
like
to every
nothing
college
off
coach
of.
Do interviews off the game, off the field, either halftime, before the game, after the game, and they're all selling their program. Bill has no desire to do any of that.
Well, the juxtaposition I saw that was alarming is Notre Dame, their coach, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right
Freeman.
Now. Marcus Freeman. He looks like Tiger in his prime. He's like a V-shape. He's got nice pecs. He's young. His team loses, and he gives this fiery speech about what we're going to do next, and we're a good football. And then Bill, with his, no disrespect to him, but he's a 73-year-old man with a interesting physique and big barrel chest, and like those two people are doing the same job with the same group of kids around them, right?
Yeah,
they're both supposed to have high-end players that can play college football that are smart
great
kids.
Recruiting tape. This was a stadium that was empty by the start of the fourth quarter,
but only by the start of the fourth quarter. Bill, how was the stadium to start the game? Bill, how was it? You opened your post-game press conference with something interesting. What is this?
Well, it was a great great atmosphere here for the game tonight. Fans were had tremendous energy.
That was the first thing out of his mouth. Yeah. You know what that was? Him trying to take credit for the atmosphere. Him trying to say, look what I brought to this stadium.
Oh, you don't
even
think that's
though
true?
That's exactly what he was
here
doing.
Here we go. Belichick defender.
Andy,
come on, Belichick.
This is an absolute 100% truth and fact. That is what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Because he couldn't stake claim to anything on the field because that was so abysmal they weren't getting their $10 million worth. But you see those stands? Hey, Chancellor, did you see that Michael Jordan and LT and Mia Hamm were in the luxury box for the last time this season because they don't want to watch crappy football for a second time?
Why can't he not acknowledge that without you saying, oh, he's trying to take credit for it? You sound so bitter, Andy. This guy has brought you
is never bitter.
Six Super Bowls.
No, the truth can be bitter.
He's brought you six Super Bowls. In fact, you know how people say, you know, if it wasn't for Belichick, maybe Brady doesn't have a career. Andy, you may not have a career if it wasn't for Bill Belichick.
I had already started.
He
He dressed you down in the locker room one day.
Started.
You've never gotten. Yeah, but with all that Patriot
success.
I'd be
living in a van. Down.
With all, no,
it would have been a different route, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't have existed.
That Patriot success.
This idea that you have is so cult-like.
It is. It was interesting, though, but the pregame was kind of hype. I mean, it looked like a Coldplay concert with all the lights.
Oh,
I thought it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It was packed out. McAfee's down there.
They're doing the game day thing. Ted,
and they said that Bill had his hands in everything from marketing to the songs that they play.
Oh, yeah.
To just whatever the pregame, in-game experience was, that Bill had his hands all over.
Interesting.
They got a bot.
That's the guy who used to not do any of that stuff, or at least he claimed
it was do your job.
Maybe if he focused more on football and less on music, they wouldn't have gotten blown out the way they did. They would have been able to compete with another mediocre team. Also, Bill Belichick, you keep calling yourself the 33rd team. I got bad news for you. I saw the Athletics updated rankings of college football teams. You're going to have to update it to you're the 76th team in college football, according to the Athletic. And you lost to the 50th team. This was a 50 versus 51 matchup. They were both supposed to be very mediocre, non-playoff.
UNC is supposed to be better. They had the ninth-ranked transfer portal recruiting class in the league, and they had 70% turnover. So most of their team is new, but most of their team were players that were considered a top-10 transfer portal class. And that was the product they put
out. Well, didn't it go back to, like, they also had, like, the 80th ranked roster? Like, way back in the spring or early summertime, the roster rankings came out, and they were much lower
than we thought, he brought in a crap ton of players after spring practice. After they finished spring practice, he hit the transfer portal.
They were bringing in guys as late as a couple of weeks ago. And also, okay, let's go back to Saturday's game. You got Ohio State, Texas. It's a barn burner, kind of a snooze. 14-7, Matt Patricia, you know, puts Arch Manning in a Hurt Locker Saturday at the Horseshoe. And then there were all these tweets like, whoa, if Matty P could do that to Arch Manning in Texas, wait till you see what Belichick's going to do to TCU Monday night. Isn't defense supposed, correct me if I'm wrong, defense is the calling card of the Belichick family at all Incorporated?
Used to also be tackling, but that wasn't very good in this game either.
TCU knew where every defender was going to be on every running play and just kind of parted the Red Sea or the Blue Sea over and over. Belichick giving up multiple Ray Rice touchdown in 2009, multiple of those.
Yeah, when you give up multiple long runs on defense and then offense is giving pick sixes and scooping scores, like, that's about as ugly as you can get for a football team.
Stop the run. They averaged less than 2 yards per carry, and they gave up over 7 yards per rush.
So let me just ask you this, though. So he famously said, or infamously, probably not that famous, to Ben Volen when he went down there, like, later in my career, there were too many people involved, right?
Yeah, got the owner, you got the owner's son, you got the owner's son's friend, you got
which
this.
Which is funny because
it's hard to have one vision.
It seemed like you didn't. It actually seemed like less people were involved. A lot of people internally said Bill was doing more and more, wearing too many hats. In fact, his son told me that once. My dad still wears all the hats. So he had full control, and he's got full control at North Carolina, right down to the music, right?
Yep.
And over the last 5 years, can't win to save his life, despite, you know, moving around, trying to do it different ways, different quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks. Like, I just look at it, and it's hard to not think. This is a sample size, Stiz, that isn't just one game. It isn't just 1 year.
Because I was just about to say, it's one game.
Did you watch the Patriots his last couple years? Did you watch those?
Did he buy all the groceries? Did he want Mac Jones?
Absolutely. He did everything he wanted. Don't buy into these narratives that he had no... Poor little Bill Belichick, they ran him out of town because he had no control.
I'm not saying he had no control.
He did what he wanted.
You think for him to make that comment about the owner's son, you don't think there's any truth to that?
And if anything...
That Kraft and
Mac Jones took him to the playoffs for the final time in his NFL career, and then he tried to break Mac Jones by hiring a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach as his coach. Yes, Dan Ball.
On behalf of my client, so you're using the 23rd, 24th, 25th season of the Belichick era to compare to one game of UNC football of the program he just inherited?
Isn't that the most recent sampling we have?
Guys?
The 73-year-old first year at North Carolina, the 70-year-old in New York. That's the sampling. Should I compare it to when he was 47? Would that be a more apt comparison?
To when they were well under 500 in the first season that he was there? Yeah.
Oh, so I should compare it to when he was young and had his fastball, not to what he is now and doesn't even know how to work his headsets on the sideline of a college game.
You shouldn't compare it to the beginning of his inheriting of a program. Yes, you should.
I thought it was what have you done for me lately. I thought we compared to normal things. Like, Ted Johnson, are you the same person you were when you were a Patriots linebacker in 2003, 2004?
No, definitely not.
Or are you a different guy now?
I'm a different guy.
You're a little sore sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe when we're at the NFL draft, I have to go get the car and pick you up because you can't walk back to the car.
Right, yes.
Oh, you could have left
wow,
that
this
off
got,
there.
This got
come
highly
on.
Specific.
2004, Ted Johnson could have walked back to the car, I believe,
come on, Teddy,
in that
call
situation.
Him small. Call him short.
Nope, he's actually right on that one. I can't argue with that. But, I get your point.
So, like, What you compare people to is who they are now. Like, that's just the reality. And Bill Belichick, over the last 5 years, hasn't been a good football coach. And if you read, I don't know if you guys read, I didn't put it in the rundown today. There was a long story on ESPN detailing the infancy of the Bill Belichick regime at North Carolina and how they fired everybody and then realized they had no idea how recruiting worked, they actually had to kind of grovel and bring back some of the people they fired to help them get through the early stages of recruiting and what the rules were. And then even high school coaches say he's improved. But, like, when he first started visiting in January, February, whenever it was a debacle. It was clear he didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't really prepared for the situation. They were in over their heads a little bit early on here. That doesn't mean they can't fix it. They have a very good recruiting class, by all accounts, for 2026, right? Like, I'm not saying it's dead and buried. I heard Rich Keefe today say, this is one and done. Bill Belichick's one and done. And I originally thought he might be one and done at North Carolina. But I don't base that on last night's loss. If he really wants to be in it for the long haul, get more talent. I thought that was the biggest takeaway
Does
last
he,
night.
Though?
They didn't have as much talent. They were not as talented as TCU. And if you're not as talented as TCU, then what the hell are you going to be when Clemson and some of those other schools start coming to town?
Yeah, but there was some bad coaching, too. I mean, they never changed that wide receiver for TCU. Jordan Dwyer, who had, 10 catches for 150 yards. They never changed that they couldn't make adjustments in the running game. Why didn't they have Max Johnson start the game as opposed to
Gio Lopez?
Do they know how to evaluate their quarterbacks? Because Max Johnson was hell of a lot better than Gio Lopez. So you wonder, are they even making the good decisions in the evaluating their own talent that they have?
It looked like the game looked like a tryout for UNC players.
Oh yeah, it was like I got it. Kirk Herbstreit was right. They're bad.
Yes. Kirk Herbstreit was caught on a hot mic dropping a word we can't say on during the daytime here on WEEI. And then he sort of tried to cover his tracks today on social media. Just own it. You're just being honest. You said what we all thought. This is blank.
Everybody was saying it. I texted my son we're watching the game. Like, everybody was watching. Everybody has eyes. You can't blow smoke up their skirt or whatever the hell Ted likes to say when they're watching that performance. You weren't a good football team. You threw a pick six. You had a scoop and score fumble. You're giving up 75-yarder, and you're right, Ted. They ran the same run play twice to equal success.
Oh,
like,
my
exact
goodness.
Same run play, and it's like, fool me once, shame. Oh, you got me again,
son of a bitch. They did. They ran it to the right side, killed them. They ran the left side, and they were running the same draw play on 3rd and 13 that the Patriots did for how many years?
Classic.
It was a 1-for-11.
Playing all the hits.
That was brutal.
They're bad.
They're bad.
They're bad. And now, Kirk Herbstreit has tried to say that was like a conversation in his ear, producers, something. Now, my theory is, let's just say that's true, Kirk. I think they were making fun of Bill or the producers in your ear were making fun of Bill or Jordan or saying something inappropriate. And you either way, I think Kirk Herbstreit was referencing something that reflects poorly on Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Either the on-field product.
No doubt.
Or what people are mocking him for behind the scenes.
And guys are afraid because they think, Bill has this power. Or if they say anything bad about Bill, that'll come back to hurt him or bite him because he's got all this power. That's what people in the industry think.
I tell you who doesn't have that fear. I can name one person. I don't know the person's name. Whoever runs the TCU social media account.
Oh, they were cooking.
They were relentless. It wasn't a one-off. It was four or five of them.
I thought UNC did their own troll job on Bill. You know what that might be? Like, what was interesting after the game?
The balloons?
Yeah.
Well, they were expecting victory.
So what did they
might want to get up.
Did they lose the game in the last minute, or did they know the game was over at halftime and could have taken them down long before he stepped on that stage?
Ted, Jordan was not letting that get taken down.
I was going to say was 100% Jordan.
That was
going to,
blew those up herself.
Really?
Party City or, whatever. Yeah.
And you don't
Tar Heel Nation.
She should have known to maybe take those down. What a bad look that was.
It was terrible. Like, it looks AI generated.
Like, take the balloons down. You got your asses kicked. If you win, you keep them up. You lose, you take them down.
Didn't you just tell me Bill Belichick has a hand in everything?
So did he approve the fact that it looks like a prom set.
Bill Belichick allowed balloons to be arched over his post-game press conference.
Oh, my God. You guys, the mental gymnastics you, don't think that's you people do
hypocritical to what he was?
Ascribe everything. This guy is to be blamed for everything.
It literally looks
everything.
Like enchantment under the sea,
oh,
for
my
God's
God,
sakes.
It's raining today. Blame Bill Belichick.
Who
oh
should I blame
God.
For the balloons that arched over Bill Belichick's head during his post-game press conference?
If I had to guess, it was not Bill Belichick.
Oh, he had no idea they were going to be there. I got to tell you, the old Bill, the New England Bill, who focused on winning, I think would have ripped those down by hand before he took to the microphone. He would have grabbed them and started popping them before he said a spoken word.
I doubt Bill's picking songs, too. Like, whoever ascribed that
to him.
That's
what they
earlier said
on the telecast.
That's just what they're saying on the telecast.
Bill picked the music for pregame and in-game experience.
Calling ESPN liars?
But either way, I mean, Michael Jordan's at the game. Randy Moss is at the game. It was a good look.
It was a great look?
I'm not saying, yes, that
you gave
the
up 48 points
that.
In the most embarrassing loss
every
of the
home,
weekend.
Every home game is sold out. Yes, I'm not sitting here
they sold
trying
out
to say,
last year's home opener, too, so I don't want to hear Bill
I asked you that
crowd.
Earlier, and you weren't sure.
They came to see Mac Brown
clearly,
and whoever the hell else was on that team last year.
There's more eyes on UNC this year than there was last
there
year.
Was. There was.
No, there is. There still is. 100%.
We'll see. Those are going to be
dissipating.
Wait, hold on. We need to get to the bottom of this.
And ACU is going to kick TCU.
You made a bet with Stiz season long, one of our beer bets and our running show bets. And what was it again?
A 30 pack was on the over under of 7.5 wins. Mm-hmm. Stiz believes they will win more than 7.5 games. So he's taking 8 or more wins. I'm taking 7 or fewer wins. Mm-hmm. I, being the bigger man in this rare situation,
yeah,
am going to say if he, you know how your gambling apps sometimes give you a payout, a buyout? If it's trending a certain way, they'll give you
parlay's
a little cash
parlay's looking
out.
Good. You want some money?
So Stiz, instead of a 30 pack, I will allow you to bring me a 6 pack tomorrow. A mere 6 pack will buy you out of this bet. So just bring me 6 beers and don't worry about the 30 pack. It's
so over. I can buy you out and then we're good.
Yeah, we move on. You bring me a 6 pack tomorrow and you owe me no more beers as we watch Bill Belichick's team win like 4 games all year.
Absolutely not, Andy. I am loyal to a fault. If I'm going down, I'm going down with the ship. Max Johnson will start next week. He'll throw another tutty pass to his brother, which was an awesome moment.
Garbage time.
By the way.
Garbage time.
No, it's not over. A lot of season left, boys. A lot of season left.
Yeah, unfortunately for you, there is
God
a lot
love
of season
you.
Left.
God love you.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, one of Bill Belichick's former quarterbacks, one of his former backup quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer, is going to join us. We talked to the quarterback of the Patriots. Now we talk to the best analyst in town to talk about the quarterback. Brian Hoyer up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Diz got me with a beat drop. Check my headphones and everything. WEEI Afternoons here on a Patriots Monday. Going to the phone lines now for our buddy Brian Hoyer. Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer is going to join us each and every Tuesday at 4:30. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. We were just yelling about Bill Belichick in that debacle of a North Carolina game. So did you watch it?
Oh, I watched the opening drive. I was like, man, got something going. And then it just snowballed out of control after that. So, look, I guess I don't know who they're playing next week, but they're on to whoever
Charlotte.
That is.
On to Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yep.
Charlotte. On to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, he used to tell us, like, man, this is the NFL. You don't get any cupcakes like Charlotte. I'm sure he's happy he's got that one next week.
Brian, so we talked to Drake May earlier, and he's been named a captain. He's obviously the starting quarterback going into his first full season as the starter. What kind of pressure or weight do you think he's feeling right now as everybody expects the old year two jump from him?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but I think the one good thing is, look, he got thrown into the fire his rookie year, and I think the biggest thing is you gain so much experience with game experience, not just practice, not the preseason, but I remember, you know, I didn't really play a lot into a game really until I played in my fourth year, and you realize how different it is. He's already got that by him. And now if I'm him, I'm looking at it. I got a better support staff. I have a legendary Hall of Fame type offensive coordinator who I'm spending every hour of every day with and just absorbing all of that. And so sure, there's pressure, but that's what comes of being the face of the franchise and you know, the franchise quarterback. So, the one thing that always amazed me with him, and he just seems so level-headed, right? I think nothing bothers him, nothing fazes him. I thought the way he handled himself last year as a rookie really endeared himself to the veteran teammates. When I talk to a guy like Hunter Henry and I say, what do you think about Drake? And he raves about him. This is a guy who was around Phillip Rivers, who was around Justin Herbert, and only had amazing things to say about Drake, and we saw that. And so he's got to take that next step, not only on the field, but in off the field as a leader as well.
Brian, I just need to follow up real quick on something you just said. You said Hall of Fame caliber offensive coordinator and Josh McDaniels. I'm a big McDaniels fan, but there's a lot of people out there that love to throw the barb. All he had was Tom Brady. What's he ever done without Tom Brady? How do you respond to those criticisms of Josh?
Well, I'd say Mac Jones had a pretty good rookie year. I was there that year and watched him work with Mac, and I would say his first year out in Las Vegas, albeit he was the head coach, Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing, and Devontae Adams had his second best year of his career. So people, especially around here, I don't understand why anyone would try to come after Josh after all of the amazing seasons that he's helped put up. And just from my experience, I played for a lot of great coaches. Bill O'Brien was my first offensive coordinator here in New England in this system, and I learned so much from him. And then I got to play for Kyle Shanahan in multiple stints. And Josh is one of the best that I've been around. I mean, just his way of preparation, the notes that he would give, the things that he would point out was just to another level. And I think, look, people have seen Drake May this preseason. He's getting a lot thrown at him. But this week, when the target is narrowed to the Las Vegas Raiders, now not everything is on his plate. It's not learning the entire offense. It's what's going to be focused on to beat the Raiders. And nobody does a better job of game planning, in my opinion, than Josh.
Hey, Brian, let's specifically, you mentioned, you know, you expect an improvement in Drake's development. What specifically is that? Is it, you know, getting into safer plays by audibling at the line of scrimmage? Is it cutting down on the turnovers? Is it, you know, just situationally 2 minutes? Like, what do you want to see in his development specifically from year one to year two?
Yeah, first and foremost, it's protecting the football. It's something that the one thing you realize as a quarterback, once the ball's in your hands, you touch it every single play. you have to take care of the football. I like that Vrabel called him out after that first preseason game when he's trying to throw it away. Sometimes the best play is taking a sack. Now, us in the media and the fans may not always see it that way, but when you look at the guy who played quarterback here for 20-something years, the one thing he did better than anybody else was protect the football. And so I think that's a big jump that Drake can make. Now, I'll say this, having covered him last year, I don't really see him repeat a lot of mistakes, which is a great aspect of a young quarterback. Now, with Josh being there, I think you're going to see him take the next step in basically being the coach on the field. This offensive system is teaching him and will allow him to, like you said, get in and get out of bad plays. If it's a run play and they got 8 in the box, we got to get to something different. We got to be able to do those things. And Josh, the one thing that Josh does, he empowers the quarterback on the field to be able to make those decisions. And I think that's the big step you'll see, not only with Drake's maturity, but him actually being coached and able to do that.
So it sounds like, obviously, Josh McDaniels will be a tremendous game day asset and sideline asset for Drake May in his growth. But what are some of the things that he does off field, meeting rooms, practice field, maybe conversations one-on-one with Drake? What's the behind-the-scenes stuff that he does that's going to help Drake evolve, grow, and hopefully reach his potential?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always loved about Josh when he was in that coordinator role, he was with us every moment of the day. Unless we were going to lunch, I mean, every meeting he's in there, he's talking to the quarterbacks. When we go into the quarterback meeting, Josh's preparation and the notes and the sheets that he would give us, I always joked around, like, if I got signed on Saturday night for an offense that Josh was leading and he gave me all of his sheets, I wouldn't need to take one snap, but I wouldn't need to watch one minute of film. He gave you such good preparation as far as breaking things down, getting them into percentages, things that you can go out on the field and have a really good idea of what the defense is going to do to try to take your things away, and then what your response is for that. I think that's the biggest thing. Josh teaches you as a quarterback to basically, we used to call it, put tools in your tool belt and have a fundamental base understanding of what the offense is. And look, you're going to get unscouted looks. You're going to get a defense that lines up in things. He gives you the opportunity to take with the tools that are in your tool belt to be able to problem solve when you're out there. Now, look, I'm not saying Drake's going to do it from game one, but I think that Drake is more than capable of going out there and executing. Like I said, I saw Mac Jones do it as a rookie. I think Drake is able to do those things. And the scary thing is, when things break down, we all saw last year what Drake's able to do with his athleticism. So you got to be able to coach it up. And at some point, you got to let the player play too.
Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, it's looking like the Patriots may start two rookies on the left side, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson. When I brought that up to Ted Johnson as a former defensive player, he looked at it and said, feast. How does a quarterback look at that and react to that, potentially having two rookies on the left side there?
Yeah, look, I think the big thing that is a positive for the Patriots is this game's at home. So I just talked about Drake having control over the line of scrimmage, who the mic point is, where are we sliding in protection. Be thankful that this first game is at home and these guys can over-communicate and Drake can get that aligned up and make sure that guys are going in the right spot. Now, I think the one thing, we've already talked about Josh, but with Doug Marrone, you have to go in with a game plan to know that you're going to have to help these guys out a little bit. I mean, the Raiders defense would be crazy not to go over and put Max Crosby on that left side, that opening series of the game, to test these young guys with TE stunts, with whatever pass rush moves Crosby's going to work with. So I would imagine that in the opening 5 to 10 plays, there will be some schemed up elements to hit Max Crosby every which way to Sunday. They're going to jam him. They're going to slam him. They're going to toss, crack him. They're going to make sure, especially with Josh's history being out there, he knows the type of player Max is. He's going to make sure to let Max Crosby know, we're not just going to let you have any free runs at the quarterback. We're going to make you think you're getting hit on every single play.
The very first preseason game, the very first third and long situation, they did a tee stunt, and Drake May got hammered. So that's a good point, Brian. I'm curious, Brian, what you think of the roster and the changes they've made? Kendrick Bourne, Jabril Peppers, Javon Baker, all released after the original 53-man roster came out. That feels strange to me, and it reeks of something going on. Do you read into that? And how do you feel about kind of what the roster settled at for the Pats?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, the roster and the cutdown day is so different from when I first started out, because now it's more of a week. Like, I think, and it was pretty telling. I think someone asked Rabel about Micah Parsons. He said, look, we're just trying to get built depth on this roster. And to me, maybe the reason why some of those guys were on the initial 53 and then as days went on, they got released, I think the team is trying to figure out who's available out there. Who can we go pick up that maybe fits our system or fits our culture the right way? And so I think there was a little bit of that going on. I think it's a clear message that this is a new era. I mean, there's new captains. There's a lot of new players. Vrabel wants it done his way. And so they're willing to sacrifice maybe some guys that can help them win right now immediately to try to get the guys they want in the building. That's how I took it.
All right, Brian, if you had to guess, you got veteran receivers that were brought in for a lot of money. You've got some guys that have been on the team for a couple of years, rookies, et cetera. Who do you think becomes Drake's best friend and top target this year?
I mean, honestly, I think this is, to me, a no-brainer. Knowing Josh, having seen this kid play, I think Travion Henderson is going to be Drake May's best friend, not only in the running game, but in the passing game and in blitz pickup. I mean, when I saw this kid hit the hole that first preseason game, I don't think I've ever seen a running back get the ball from the handoff and hit the line of scrimmage as fast as him. I know they record these stats now. I'd love to see Next Gen Stats come up with that, because he's explosive, and we've all seen the clips of him in the receiving game as well. And then obviously it was the college level, but we see him go in there and stick his shoulder in and pick up linebackers like it's nothing. And so I think you're going to see him develop into a guy that Drake May can rely on, not just in the running game, but in the passing game.
Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I probably should have asked you this beforehand, but oh well, it's live radio. Can I get two predictions, season record and what happens on Sunday?
Okay, I'm still like kind of player mode, so I don't like predictions, but I think it's going to be win total should be somewhere between 8 and 11 games. That's what, when I look at the schedule and I look at the culture that's being built and I look at the players, now a lot goes into that. Do people stay healthy? Are the guys who are so important to this team, are they able to stay healthy? I mean, look at right where we're at right now. We don't know if Gonzalez is going to play. There's injuries all over the defensive backfield. I think that's what they're capable of. It'll be about execution. The one thing that I've always looked at, more games are lost than they're won. And I think Vrabel will have these guys coached up to a point where they're not going to beat themselves a lot. And that's half the battle in the NFL. And so if you do that, Drake May takes another step. The offense expands. Diggs is healthy, comes back to be the receiver that we all think he can be. I think that's somewhere in the range of what they do. Now, does that get them to the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, you look at the AFC West, that's a tough division. Three teams made the playoffs from that division last year. So you may have to win 10, 11 games to sneak into the wild card.
Wow. If we movie poster that, Brian Hoyer, colon, Patriots could win 11 games. We could really go viral or something.
That's,
on the,
he did say eight scenario. Total. Okay. This is where I don't like to get in predictions. This is where Bill said, you know, manage expectations. But when I look at the schedule and I go down week by week and just the matchups, at least where we're at before the season starts, I think that's the ceiling for this year.
All right, Brian, appreciate you chatting with us. We'll see if they can get well on their way to 11 wins on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
See you, bud.
Brian Hoyer, a little on the optimistic side, yep, 8 to 11.
Yep. Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
A big difference there,
but so he's telling me this is going to be a good season. Because I don't care if it's 8, 9, 10, or 11. In my eyes, 8 wins is a good season. 11 wins is a crazy season.
8 and up is a very good season.
So Brian Hoyer is predicting a good season if you're a Patriots
fan. Yes, yes.
That's how I took that. The big picture takeaway, not painting him as any one number. Good season Patriots.
And I value his opinion.
I do,
too. He's a bright guy. You know he knows what he's talking about.
You know what he speak of.
He also has a strong opinion on the offensive coordinator. I want to visit that next because I have a strong opinion, but I want to see where Ted weighs in on Josh McDaniels and what he brings to this offense. That's next on WEEI Afternoons.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
And Josh is one of the best that I've been around. I mean, just his way of preparation, the notes that he would give, the things that he would point out was just to another level. And I think, look, people have seen Drake May this preseason. He's getting a lot thrown at him. But this week, when the target is narrowed to the Las Vegas Raiders, now not everything is on his plate. It's not learning the entire offense. It's what's going to be focused on to beat the Raiders. And nobody does a better job of game planning, in my opinion, than Josh.
That was former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer talking about what he called a Hall of Fame caliber offensive coordinator that Drake May is working with in Josh McDaniels. WEEI Afternoons here. Brian Hoyer will join us each and every Tuesday at 4:30. And according to the 774, that's good news because they said, this is an excellent call. Brian Hoyer is awesome.
Yeah.
He was very good.
It's you know, for a guy that played here, that lives here locally, I think we're lucky to get him because I think he's honest in his assessment. I think he gives you good stuff. I don't think he just gives you canned responses, and he's not afraid to say what he thinks, which is big in this business.
Also, we shouldn't discount the fact that, or just to remind listeners, sure, obviously played for the Patriots, knows Bill, knows Josh very well. How many different NFL teams did Brian play for during his, like,
two-decade
career? Nine teams?
I was just going by the Twitch chat. So that's important.
That's well-traveled.
Yeah. He played for Josh McDaniels. I get that. He also played for whoever the hell it was in Cleveland, whoever the hell it was in Houston, he's been
around.
All
these different types of offensive coordinators. He's played in the Shanahan system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The West Coast system.
So he could say, well, I like Josh, but he's not, you know, Shanahan was really good. Or this guy, like, he's been around. He says Josh is Hall of Fame caliber. And he rightly points out, Josh's resume does include more than Tom Brady. I know people love to paint it a certain way, and then if they want to crap all over him, they bring up that year in St. Louis with Sam Bradford, and they finished 32nd, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, you can counter that with the Mac Jones year, as Brian Hoyer did. I go back to some of the things he did the Brady suspension year, like one-off games with the Garoppolo and Brissett and that whole...
Some would say Cam Newton year and winning seven
games. Yeah, Cam Newton when Wiggy...
2020.
Remember when Wiggy wanted to give him $120 million after that, the Seattle game? And it's like...
That was a good game.
I mean, the first two games were awesome.
Yeah.
They were awesome, and then COVID looked painful.
And if you think he's a bad head coach... I can't really argue it.
Oh, he's a terrible head coach.
He's had two chances. He's failed miserably. I can't argue that. But if you think he's not a good offensive coordinator, I push back on.
What game are you watching?
There's coaches that do what they do on offense, especially the Shanahan. They just have their plays that they're going to run. But then there's coaches that game plan. There's not many of them, but they game plan. They scout the opponent. They watch what the opponent likes to do so that they change their offense from week to week based on the opponent. That's what Josh does. I think he does a good job of targeting what their weaknesses are. And if it's not working out the way he wants, I think he does a good job of in-game management of changing and adjusting what that team is doing to stop you to do something different that hopefully has a better result.
I bet you Bill would have probably last night been thought to himself at one point or another, like, oh, crap, I wish McDaniels was here.
Oh, yeah, they needed some adjustments from Josh McDaniels or even trick plays that Josh McDaniels had over the years.
I wouldn't have minded an Edelman to Amendola pass last night just to give me something to look forward to.
Freddie Kitchens can't be feeling great today with Bill going over the film with him in that game, whereas I have all the confidence in the world in Josh. I said this, I think, back in the spring when we were doing these sort of debates. If this season hinges on Josh's ability to do his job, then Hoyer's right. You're going to win 8-11 games. Now, I don't think it will. I think there's a lot of other factors, the offensive line, the talent, the Drake May. I think there's a million other factors. But if it's just, can Josh be the best version of himself for this team, I think you're fine. Like that, how could you not have confidence?
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with Josh.
And you're not the biggest fan, right?
Is that fair? Huge, but I also think he's a competent, highly qualified offensive coordinator. I like other offenses better. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the Shanahan type offense, but I also think Josh is a capable offensive coordinator. And he did say that he was a Hall of Fame coordinator. You look, there is no officially any offensive coordinators in the Hall of Fame,
right?
But we get Brian's point. He just thinks he's a very, very good. But the thing that you, when you think of Josh, you don't think of him as an innovator. It's not like he's an innovating offense. He just puts together solid game plans that are concepts that he borrows from everyone else, but he hasn't come up with his own innovative, forward-thinking type of offense. That's Mike McDaniels. That's
right.
You know, that's Shanahan. That's not him.
That's sort of my argument against Belichick, too. I don't really think Belichick innovated anything. I think he took a 3-4 defense that had been around for like 100 years back to Oklahoma in the 40s or whatever, and he used it, and it worked really well. Wasn't innovative. He won a hell of a lot of games.
He picked the right players for specific
100%
jobs.
And could alternate week to week and specifically how to execute it and scheme it, but did he create this magnanimous scheme? No.
And what I like is you will see Josh get guys open. It's like, so Efton Chisholm, part of why he was getting wide open is because Josh game planned to get him open, right? He set up picks. You know, he's going to get Travion Henderson down the middle against the middle linebacker, which is advantageous. He's going to get the offense in these advantageous situations where he can exploit kind of what they're doing on defense and get guys wide open.
They're called rubs, Ted. A defensive player, they're called picks.
Rubbins,
when you're
baby.
A linebacker, it's called a pick.
Gotcha.
When you're on offense, it's just called a rub.
Or a mesh.
Or even a natural rub. Yep. They like to call it a
not
natural
a pick.
Rub.
Pick. Pick signifies illegal. Yeah. Penalty.
Pick's bad. 617-779-7937. We're talking a little Patriots because it is Patriots Monday on a Tuesday, the week of the first game against the Raiders. It's all coming together nicely. We've had a lot of interviews today, and that's a lot of food for thought as we come into the drive. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for the drive here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.